This is a special moment for me. Do you realise it's 5 years, almost to the day, since I first started writing Mad About the Boat in Practical Boat Owner. And I'd like to take this opportunity to share with you some of my recollections of my very first moments afloat. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was a turning point in my life. Me and Barry were standing on the bow of a sea school yacht somewhere in the Solent when the instructor shouted in his native maritime Martian tongue, "Lasso that boy!" Apparently this meant something, but not to us. My first impulse was to respond, "Yee-haw, Captain! Ride 'em, cowboy!" Other than that, I could only think the skipper was having some kind of John Wayne flashback. We were at a loss, me and Barry. As we stood there entwined in several miles of tangled rope, our eyes met. I shrugged. Barry shrugged back. I made a gesture with uplifted palms, as he made the same gesture back. Our four eyebrows twanged into wide-eyed spasm as we gurned in a dumb rictus of total and utter gormlessness. I muttered, "What the what?" He queried, "What?" And I clarified, "What what?" We were in serious danger of getting stuck in an eternal loop of incomprehension as we passed coils of rope back and forth, trying to offload the task on one another. We were umbilically linked by imbecility, and we'd also ended up with a pretty good cat's cradle. Meanwhile, at the back of the boat, or stern as it's called in maritime Martian, the rest of the crew took up our refrain of "What the whatting what?" only louder, as a mooring boy tenderly kissed our bow and slipped by ever so gently down our flank. It was so close we could have picked it up. Apparently, as we learned later, we'd been doing a manoeuvre called picking up a boy under sail, and the helmsman had got it spot on, 100% absolutely perfect. The only problem was that the twit on the bow, that would be me, had let it glide by. They were fuming, and so was I. In fact, I had words with the instructor, telling him that if he wanted me to do something, I needed to be given a chance of getting it right, and he shouldn't utter commands in meaningless maritime Martian when I didn't even have a phrase book. So there. The instructor weathered my little hissy squall and patiently translated the word lasso, the word that, and the word boy. I got it. But I also realised something else. Right there, right then, getting it right meant more to me than anything else in the world. I'd got the fever, and it's never left me. Sailing was something I wanted to do right. I vowed to record for posterity every ripple I sailed over. I met sailors who'd sailed thousands of miles, even crossed oceans. I was entranced by their tales and so desperate to accumulate sea miles. I hoped every passage would be a thumping beat with the wind bang on the nose. By tacking to and fro, I could claim 30 or 40 miles for every 20 made good. I wanted every force 4 to be a 5, a 6 to be an 8, another higher notch on the bedpost of boating experience. I wanted hard hands, a craggy, weather-beaten face, and beaten-up oilskins that didn't look so humiliatingly fresh and new. If Levi's can come stone-washed, why can't Musto's? I wanted to know it all, not just certificates, but knowledge and even wisdom, to understand the music of the spheres, what makes the wind and waves, how a boat flies, and why the spirit soars. But I never actually noticed when I notched up that magic 1,000 nautical miles. It didn't make me different. My written log, once a meaninglessly prolific torrent, is now, these days, a scant dribble. The wind and waves still mystify me. I don't understand how the wind works, and I don't want to, for sailing is the magic in my life. To be truthful, I haven't learned a lot, but I know now not all things need answers, and I thank the stars that I haven't lost the wonder. Perhaps sailing even means too much to me, but then it's taught me so many things, and none of them have much to do with sailing. For sure, I know more of myself. I think I'm a better person, kinder, rounder, fuller, deeper, easier to be with, a better shipmate, a better friend, with even better friends. The sea did that. I've also found a gigantic joy I never knew before. I dream of boats and voyages yet to come. The Gulf of Morbihan in a sailfish is a life's dream. So too to circumnavigate Great Britain in my brave little Marlin. But who knows where the wind and tide will take us. Sadly, it probably won't be with my dog Bar, as the little fellow has never taken to sailing. But I really do hope that you'll keep me company along the way, for you're the best crewmates this bloke could ever wish for. And there's one other thing. Have you noticed how much PP9 batteries have gone up over the last 5 years? It's outrageous. And as this is the 5th anniversary of Mad About the Boats, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank a few people for inspiration, friendship, help and guidance, patience, wisdom, tolerance and understanding. I'd like to thank the following: Angie Needs, David Meacock, Honor Samworth, Arthur Ransom, Martha, the Sailfish Association, Des Slightholm, the CAM Sailing Club, the RNLI, Maurice Griffiths, Robert Louis Stevenson, Daniel Defoe, Peter Jackson, Donald Crowhurst, Nicholas Tomlin and Ron Hall, Keith and Pam Francis, Sir Francis Chichester and Gypsy Moth 4, the Cruising Association, Burton Robson, Vicky Sherwood, Julian Harrop, Ted Osborne, Jake, Joshua Slocum, Frank and Margaret Dye, Sir Robin Knox Johnston and Sue Haley, Stone Sailing Club, Peter Nash, Ellen MacArthur and Eduna, Sir Ernest Shackleton and the James Caird, Vance Broad, the Morden Little Ship Club, Graham Jenkins, Keith Dovkantz, Crusher Goodridge, Jules and Evan Al, Adrian Reaver, Morden Yacht Club, the River Blackwater, Charlie Stock, and for hating sailing but still loving me, I'd like to thank Bart, the keenest fender humper on the East Coast.